Okay, so you're in a meeting, or maybe it's a first date, and you pass by a mirror, check yourself out, and you discover a poppy seed lodged smack between your front teeth. Okay, maybe it's a bit of parsley. Whatever it is, you'd do anything at that moment for a simple toothpick. This little 3-inch stick of wood has saved millions from countless embarrassments, not to mention decorating the martinis of America's Most Fashionable. And now there is a book about it. Historian and engineer Henry Petrosky is the author, and he joins me here in the studio. How are you, Mr. Petrosky?
Fine.
Your book is called The Toothpick: Technology and Culture. It is 420 pages long with a ton of footnotes. About the toothpick?
Well, I think you could write a book that long or longer with that many or more footnotes about anything. I am a firm believer that no matter how small an object is, you can find interesting things out about it and its history.
Okay, so tell me how the standard average wooden toothpick that we all know and love, where did that start out?
Well, there have always been wooden toothpicks. I mean, obviously, people can pick up a twig or break off a little splinter and use it as a toothpick. But deliberately manufactured ones date from roughly the Middle Ages when in Portugal they began to make them. Now, of course, Brazil was connected to Portugal, so these toothpicks found their way into Brazil. And in the middle of the 19th century, a Bostonian named Charles Forster was working in Brazil. And he noticed that the people that used these toothpicks had very clean, white teeth. And he thought, boy, this is great, because this is before the age of the modern toothbrush, of course. So he got the idea that he was going to mass produce these toothpicks up in New England. Unfortunately, he was not much of an inventor himself. So what he did is he found an inventor who invented machines that did similar things, in fact, made what were called shoe pegs. Shoe pegs were used in the middle of the 19th century to fasten the tops to the bottoms of shoes.
Oh, short
nails,
little pegs.
short little pegs, exactly. So the trick was to make these things in vast quantities and make them by machine. So knowing how to do that, well, you can imagine a toothpick is just a longer peg sharpened at both ends instead of just one.
I can imagine people in New England weren't used to picking their teeth with little pieces of wood.
And that's part of the story, is that once he did get production going, he couldn't sell the darn things. So he reverted to some rather devious practices, you might say, by modern marketing ethics.
What did he
He
do?
hired some students from Harvard, for example, to eat at local restaurants. And after eating, demand some of those new wooden toothpicks that are so great, we hear. The manager of the restaurant had to admit, well, I haven't seen them, I don't know them. By coincidence, of course, the next day Charles Forster would show up with his supply of toothpicks, and he had an easy sell to the restaurants.
It's early viral marketing.
Yeah.
Now, a large part of your book is about the technology that came about for mass producing these toothpicks.
That's right. The subtitle of the book is Technology and Culture, and it's the idea of being able to get the right wood behaving in the right way in the right machine is no trivial matter. There are classically two basic types of toothpicks that were manufactured in America, so-called flat and the round.
Oh, yeah, and you can
Yeah.
still buy both
That's
flat
right.
and
You
round
can sell. And in
toothpicks.
fact, you can buy a third kind now called square, center, round end, or something like that. It's a real hybrid, and I think it's a total flop, because not only is the name awkward, but the toothpick itself looks awkward. It just doesn't have the grace. If you can find a box of 100-year-old round toothpicks, and if you can take one out and look at it, the shape is just so organic. It's really almost like a piece of sculpture.
I was interested to learn that those toothpicks that have the little rings that are carved out at one end, it's got a sharp end and then a blunt end with the
Right.
rings carved out, that isn't just for decoration.
No, that's right. Those are usually referred to as Japanese toothpicks. The rings, or the grooves encircling the top of a Japanese toothpick, make it easy. They do serve as a decoration, of course, but they also make it easy to break that end off. And if that end is broken off, that signals that the toothpick has been used. It's a very thoughtful little design.
Mr. Petrosky, you've written many books about design. You've explored bridges, the pencil, telephone keypad, and now the toothpick. What do you look for in a subject when you're going to write a book?
Well, I'm interested in simple subjects, simple objects, because I think you can illustrate a lot of principles of design without having to spend you know, the first half of the book explaining what this thing is you're trying to talk about. I call the toothpick the simplest thing. In many ways, I think it is, and it's got a single part. It's made of a single material. Its name suggests a single purpose, picking the teeth, but of course we know that they're used for a lot of other things. And I can't think of a simpler thing, and I await to be challenged on that when people start reading the book.
Mr. Petrosky, have all simple things been invented already?
Well, that's an excellent question. Chances are a lot of them have, if they're made out of simple materials like wood. But one of the simple objects I like to think of is this little simple object. It's known as a pizza saver. You know, if you get a pizza delivered in a box, the heat of the pizza softens the roof of the box, and the bouncing
cardboard.
What happens? Yeah, the cardboard. And what happens is the pizza cheese sticks to the top of the box, right?
So those little plastic things
called pizza savers.
Little tripod things.
Tripods, exactly. Those are very simple devices, and they were invented for a very specific purpose. But they probably would not have been invented before the pizza box and the pizza, right? So some inventions, some simple inventions are going to have to wait until their time.
Henry Petrosky is a professor of civil engineering and history at Duke University. His latest book is The Toothpick, Technology and Culture. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
You can read an excerpt about why picking your teeth is mankind's oldest bad habit at npr.org/books.